Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hetheroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So they made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hithoroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, that it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? And Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel, Go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry ground, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels, so they drove them with difficulty, And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. When the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overflew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. Amen indeed. Amen. Wonderful words. Forward, marching forward. Does anybody remember the series that we began last year with? If you do, you're going to heaven. But what it was this. We need to go back. Don't remember it. Back to the Bible. Do you remember that? Back to church. Back to faith. Back to the Spirit, and back to prayer. There's a place in the Christian life for going back. But tonight I want to share with you, there's a place in the Christian life for going forward. You may not think, where are we going? Backwards or forwards. But at critical moments, there is a need for His people to go forward. In our Christian experience and in life, people sometimes use these words and they'll say to you, I'm pulling back. People in their Christian experiences step back. But I've never once heard anyone give the testimony that God has told them to take a step back. Never heard that. Never heard that God has told them to pull back. Other things may tell them to do it, but not God. And in our text tonight, just one little word for us as we begin this new year and we want to know the blessing of God is found there in the 15th verse of chapter 14 of the book of Exodus. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now what happens, give you the background, is that these people had been in bondage for about 370 years. They had been down in Egypt, they had become slaves, and they were held in the grip of what was the superpower of that day, the Egyptians, with all their technology and all the great armies and the chariots that they had. But God had come to them and promised them to take them back to the promised land. And God raised up Moses. Moses then came and great miracles were done. And before this chapter, what happens is this, is that these people had to be ready to flee. But for them to go, there was a night where blood had to be put on the doorposts of their homes. The angel of the Lord was to come over, and everywhere he saw blood, he would pass over. And people were safe under the blood. For those Egyptians, there was the death of the firstborn. There was a cry throughout the land, in cities, in towns, in villages, in houses. There was death in every house except the Israelites. And they make their journey out of Egypt. We read in that very chapter, and they went out with boldness in verse 8. And now as they were making their way, they're into the wilderness. We find ourselves here where now they find themselves trapped. And Pharaoh comes and his heart has been hardened. And he decides that he'll go after the people of Israel. There's about 2 million of them. And behind them is the armies of Pharaoh. And before them is the Red Sea. And what you find that in this condition, these Israelites, they cry out, and you have it there in verse 12, is not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve. And they were ready at that point once again to go back. There are critical moments in a person's experience. And when a person becomes a Christian, there's much which corresponds to what happened to these people. Every one of us knew what it was to be in the bondage of sin. Every one of us knew what it was to be in the grip of the strong man, in the power of the prince of this air. Everyone who becomes a Christian has become a Christian because they have been touched with the blood of the Lamb. And a person who becomes a Christian knows what it is to have been set free. But there are critical moments in our life where God then commands. They're standing at the waters of the sea. The Egyptians are behind them. God tells them to stand still, because that's how salvation comes. There's not anything we can do. There is a moment where you have to come and you trust in God. But then in verse 15, he tells them, say to my people, tell the children of Israel to go forward. And tonight I want to share that with you, that God has a word for us in our lives. There are certain moments where we must go forward. When a person, for example, begins to know of God working in their lives, and they know that they are in that kind of world where they have come under the miracle and the blessing of God, and perhaps they've not actually made that total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've not gone through those waters, been united with him. You know, there are moments, and God has something to say to you tonight. If you know what it is that you feel that you've been drawn from the world, and you know that Jesus Christ has saved you with that blood. In the days gone old, there used to be a time and a service where people would come forward. I know we don't make those appeals. I know Darren, when he gave his testimony, said he was in a meeting. No one made the appeal. But they on that night, he went forward. There's no turning back. And when a person, you see, becomes a Christian, there are certain times and moments which are critical in your experience. And there is no turning back. The world behind you, the cross before you, no turning back. And when a person becomes a Christian and leaves the world, as these Israelites had left Egypt, there's always that word from God. Tell my people to go forward. Now in life, there can be times and moments where we think of going back. You can't go back to sin. You can't go back to the world. Those things have moved on. You're a different person. You belong to the Lord Jesus. But you know, in our decisions that we make, so often we think of going back. People, when they come to certain periods of their life, you can't help but think of certain seasons where it was exceptionally good for you. You may have been on a farm and you had real good days. The children were growing up. And you know, you look back and you say, they were the best days. And I wish I could go back to them. And you have moments and seasons like that. But I got news for you. In your life, even of those best days that you had, not that they were sinful, there is no place for you to go back when you're thinking simply of the things of the world. I'll give you an example. There was a person many years ago who wanted and made a choice to take a certain direction. They wanted me to put in writing to qualify that the decision they're making was a right one. I refuse to do it on these grounds. One, although I know and don't know God's ways, they are past finding out. And you know, God is able through the things of life to lead us and guide us. What you normally find is this, that if you're thinking of going back, which they were, to a place they came from, to a place they were born, you try to tell them it may not be the same as it once was. What else about this was interesting? They were going to a place which was, naturally now speaking, dark and not light. And knowing that they had this occupation in art, I found that very interesting. Because any artist knows that you need light. And to go then into that place will be seem so strange. Something else they were doing was this. They were going to a place where they were going back to the old and not the new. To an old chapel, but not the gospel. And as the little hymn puts it like this, one more step along the world I go, one more step along the world I go, from the old into the new, keep me travelling along with you. And there was something else about this. It was really strange. They were going to a place they didn't even know the language, which was a sign in the Bible times when you worship in that sense, not a blessing, but a curse. There comes a moment when Jesus Christ calls us and says, he who wants to go back to their father and to their mother is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And there's a word that comes to us, tell my people, go forward. There is another moment in an experience where this word is given to us. And it's normally at critical moments, difficult ones. What happens here is that Israel, they are trapped. They have nowhere to go. We know that with the Egyptians behind them, God puts a pillar of cloud to stop them being impressed. But they're now at the sea before them. And what's before them is a terrible ordeal to walk into the waters. Now I'll read you one verse from Psalm 74 and verse 13. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea, the serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of the Leviathan in pieces. And I want to tell you that poetically speaking, there was that demonic influence which was before them. The Leviathan, the serpent's head, was in that sea. What a place to be, trapped with the world behind you, the devil before you. He tells us, lead us not into temptation, but there comes a moment in your life where you'll come to a point where you're trapped and you've got nowhere to go, nowhere to turn, and you don't know what you possibly could do. You're paralyzed like these people. You're sitting, you're mourning, you're crying. And you know, in that very moment where you have nowhere where you could possibly go, God's got a word for you. Tell my people, go forward. Go forward. You say, the sea's in front of me. The Leviathan's in front of me. The dangers and the temptations and the trials, they're all before me. Tell my people, go forward. And you have to do it. You have to do it by faith. There is no other direction to you. For the Christian in their Christian life, at that moment, there's only one direction he calls you. By faith, he will open up the sea. Jesus Christ said, and the way, the truth, and the life. And where there's nowhere else, you must always go forward. I mean, there are moments where we find here, and you need to hear it as a church. Look, in the book of Revelation tells us that the serpent from the sea is coming again. The opposition and difficulties all around us. The church is paralyzed. You say, what will it be like in the last days? My people will march to heaven. but that great serpent is before them. He calls you to go forward. Look, there are moments like this, and he says, look, tell my people to stand still. And there is that which we must do. You must wait and call upon God, and you must pray. But there's a word which is given to us. The person who's always praying and not doing, when you ask someone to take some step and some work, they tell you to pray about it. Look, that can be a cop-out. When you've prayed and when you've waited, there must be that word from God after that, go forward. Could I give you one more critical moment where God calls his people to go forward? It's when you come to that river. It's an incredible thing, the final river. The river, the waters, the watery grave. Where you come to that moment, there is one who's speaking to us at this time. It's totally different to that of the world. Do you know the world lives a life facing a different direction, doing all that they can to stop the inevitable coming to the waters. They fight against it, they scream against it. If I could remember those words of Dylan, when he says, I can't remember them, was it? Oh, don't step out to the good night. Old age should rave against the closing of the day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And that's how the world sees it. As you come to that day, you're coming and you're fighting and you're putting all your efforts that you can't enter the waters. And the Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, I'm ready to launch my ship. And I'm ready now to go forth. And I'm ready to sail. And up for me is waited a crown of righteousness. Your life as Christians, do you realize there's a way that one day we're going to die? And you have to learn to die. And you live to die. And you're waiting for that day. Look, I know that I'm going to, we've had it here. I remember a Christian brother who's gone to glory. And we all want to hold on in this life. Hold on as much as we can. And, you know, we have the medicine, we have the treatment. And this particular episode in life where he wants us to go on and to go forward. On this particular day, I was preaching. I was up in the pulpit. And I can remember the text. It was taken from Genesis chapter 49. We were going through a series on Jacob. And it comes to the end of Jacob's life. And it simply said this, Jacob must die. Jacob must die. I remember then straight after the service going down to the hospital to the poor brother who was in deep, deep, you know, illness. To give that word to him, comes a moment, you're packed, you're ready to go, you know Jesus Christ, you've come to faith, you've got to cross that river. There comes that moment. That was the word. And as someone knows here in this place, that word is now written on his gravestone. Israel must die. And there's a word which comes to you. And he says, when you come to the rivers, you tell my people, go forward. Critical moments that these are spoken of. But then I want to just illustrate this to you tonight. I illustrate it in the very life of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Because what you find here is this. What you have written here is also spoken to us of the volume of the book it was written of, I come to do your work, your law, in the volume of the book which you have given. And you know, when you read this, and what I'm saying to you tonight, when God tells us to go forward at critical moments, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will show you, as he tells us in Matthew chapter 2, I have called my son out of Egypt. And he also knew what it was to step forward. I'll just give you three examples. There's a famous sermon, first of all, which was by a man called Christmas Evans. And he describes very dramatically and graphically in a sermon called The Graveyard Sermon of the day that Adam fell. And when Adam fell into sin, he speaks of mercy looking over the world. And as mercy looked over the world, mercy wanted to come to the world. But the gates of this world were closed to mercy. The law had blocked up the entrance to the Garden of Eden. Mercy could not enter that day. As then Christmas Evans describes, not only was the law guarding the world, but justice, God's justice, stopped mercy coming to this world. Justice of God, the punishment of God, the righteousness of God. And then there's that scene which he describes in heaven, where there's a big conference which takes place of the law and of justice. And they begin to talk, what if someone could fulfill the law? What if someone could pay the punishment? What if someone would come? And I want to assure you that in the realms of glory, Christmas Evans says, and mercy step forward. And mercy said, I will go. I will fulfill the law. I will keep the demands. And then there came that moment in time where God sent forth his Son. And it was a moment in time when the second person of the Trinity stepped from heaven into this world, that you from this world could step into heaven. And he stepped forth. Just want to say that. But I want to show you that he knows himself of what it is. Tell my people, go forward. The Lord Jesus knew what it was to be like and to be trapped. You find two incidents. The first is found in Luke chapter 4. And it's an incredible account of our Lord Jesus Christ. You must realize that there is only one way. And when he came into this world, he came for a purpose. And he comes to his town of Nazareth. He comes to the synagogue and they all gather around him. When he says that this day the prophecy is fulfilled, they grab him. They take him out of the town, the city. They bring him to the cliff. And here it is in verse 30. In verse then 39, they rose up, they thrust him out of the city, they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they may throw him down over the cliff. And passing through the midst of them, he went his way. You say, what's that? He said, when totally trapped, it was a great miracle, like the parting perhaps of the Red Sea. He went through. I'm just going to give you these verses. John chapter 8, you find it again. And in verse 50, you find this in verse 59. And they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. One more, just to show you that the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he was on this earth, he knew what it was, not only to be trapped, but he knew what it was to face that river and all that it would mean. You find it in John chapter 18 and verse 4. And this is what it says. Incredible words. Therefore, he's in the garden. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things would come upon him. Jesus, knowing all things that would come upon him, knowing the betrayal, knowing the mockery, knowing the false trials, knowing the beatings, knowing the scourging, knowing the spitting, knowing the cross, knowing its weight, knowing its pain, knowing its blood, knowing its sufferings, knowing the darkness, knowing the desertion, knowing of hell, knowing of the serpent, knowing of the great prince, knowing of the grave, knowing of the flames of fire, and he say, I thirst, knowing all things. What does it say? He went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? You've got one tonight who knows what it is to have gone through and has made that step. And forward he went, forward for the salvation of his people and the pains that he bore. And wherever you are this night, I assure you, if you say that you're a Christian and you're following the Lord Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The Lord Jesus goes forward and he goes into those waters. You can go with that comfort which is of him. Look, I want to just give you also an application, because there's a word which God has for us. No matter who you are this evening, and no matter how old you are, there is something that he's asking you. Tell my people, go forward. Every area and stage of your life. You may be coming to the end of it, but that makes no difference. You may be gravely ill and sick. Makes little difference. He says, go forward. It's this word which is given. It's the last little text. It's found there in Mark chapter 3 and verse 3. And could I say to you, it's here tonight because God's got a word for us. And if you're not a Christian, obviously there's a place for you to go forward. But if you're a Christian and you've stopped, and the last time you moved, he says, go forward. It's found in Mark chapter 3. It's found in the synagogue. There's a man who's got a withered arm. He's unable to serve. He's unable to work. And there it is now in verse 3. A terrible situation, surrounded once again with a murmuring, the hostility of those which are around, the Pharisees. And he said to the man who had a withered hand, step forward. Step forward, the words of Jesus. And he speaks that to you. Step forward. Look, no matter who you are or where you are, there is something in your life where God expects you to go forward. He expects you to go forward in your devotional life with him. He expects you to go forward in your prayer life with him. He expects you to go forward in your knowledge and your growth with him. He expects you to go forward in the trials that he's given you, forward. In this man who's got a withered hand, I assure you tonight, there's a word which God is asking, step forward. There are things to be done. There's work of the kingdom. There's positions to be filled. He says, go forward. And it makes little difference to your age or your condition. Could I give you a testimony of someone who has blessed me? You won't know who they are. I've never met the person in person. They're from America. They're from Chicago. And what happened was this. There was a woman. I look at her on the web when she's doing the readings. I reckon she could have been in her 60s, perhaps, early 60s. And what happened was this. She was diagnosed with a terminal illness. She wasn't to recover. It was going to be very swift. It would only take a few months. And that would be a sign to sit down and do nothing. But what she did was this. The one gift that God had given her was that she was able to read the New Testament in Greek. And so in the final days of her life and the months, this is what she did. She read the New Testament in Greek for people like myself who wanted to learn it and hear it and know it. And I've played it on my cassette and I've played it on my little phone, just going through the readings that you would know it. And you know, you just can't help but think that in the days of her life, God said to her in the last days, go forward in that gift that she had and that she knew. Look, we're in a real difficult day. And you say, where's the church? It is paralyzed with fear. We are trapped and we feel that we cannot go on. There is a place for this word. Step forward. Don't really want to close with this, but my mind has read so many things. There's a famous saying. And the famous saying is this. Remember the Alamo. Remember the Alamo. I'll tell you three things you do know of the Alamo. You know of three names. Travis, Crockett, and Bowie. And the account goes like this. Is that as they were fighting off the Mexicans, every single day Bowie, who was dying with a liver complaint, crawled from his bed to stand in line for the call-up call for the next day and the next fight. There came the moment for the last day. Travis, who was in command, decided to write a line within the sand, knowing it was the last day. Said to the men, anyone who wanted to surrender or anyone wanted to escape, this was the moment for them to do it. Anyone who was prepared to fight and to stand, to cross the line, step forward. So the legend goes that Bowie, who was on his bed, got the men to carry him over the line, to step forward. We're living in days. This is not the time to step back. This is the moment and time, in a moment of great extremity in the life of a church. God has made a line even tonight. You may not realize you're sitting in the pew, but a line has been drawn. And do you know what he says to you? Step forward. Step forward in that work of service. Step forward in that evangelism. Step forward in that prayer meeting. Step forward to that empty pew. Step forward in your love to him. There's a word that he has for us. Oh, to make that appeal. What happened that night in Bethesda? Someone came forward. Amen, amen indeed.